back here on the Scoop. Minnesota Vikings falling 24-10 to New England yesterday. They're now 6-5-1 on the season. Here to help us break down the game yesterday is AJ Mansour of KFAN 100.3 FM. AJ, after a pretty nice win over Green Bay, we were reminded that despite New England maybe being a little down here this year, they're still really, really hard to beat, especially at home.
Yeah, you know what? I'd call them a polished football team, and that's exactly what the Minnesota Vikings are not right now. Both teams are talented. One team knows how to win. The other is still trying to figure it out. This is a game where, you know, the same mistakes that reared their ugly heads against the Rams and the Saints did it again, and they popped up. And, you know, it's just something that this team is going to have to learn to do is figure those situations out and win a tough game against a tough team.
Looking first at what New England was able to do to neutralize the Vikings offense, it was a weird day for the Vikings offense as they had a lot of success on the ground, and then obviously with trailing in the game, they went away from that. What did New England do best in order to just take this Vikings offense and throw them out of rhythm?
Well, you know, they disguised a lot of things. You know, they did a this kind of crazy front where it's a zero coverage kind of a set, and they have nobody in the defensive backfield, and you have to figure out which guys are coming, which guys are dropping back. You know, partially the Minnesota Vikings do stuff like this, but this was maybe just taking what the Vikings do and taking it up another level and having everybody up on the line of scrimmage, not really knowing who's going to drop back in coverage, and they do it, and they do it so well. I think that's the big difference. Is it's not a team that's just trying to do something exotic. They're able and very fully capable to be successful when they do it. So they did some different things that just got them, the Vikings, behind enough. And like you said, at that point, the Vikings had to get out of their element and do what they didn't want to do. They were running the ball pretty well. I think Dalvin Cook had a decent game, only had 10 carries, but they had to get away from him and try and force the ball, and Kirk just wasn't able to read those coverages.
We've seen quite a bit what happens when defenses take Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen out of the game. There was a conceded effort by the Patriots defense to limit their opportunities, and it just seems like the offense just flows differently when those guys are not involved. You've got you're trying to get the ball to Laquon Treadwell on a 4th and 11 for a 3-yard pass, and it shows how important those two guys are. But now this is something that that the Vikings are going to see the rest of the way, is the teams are going to throw more defense at Thielen and Diggs just to try to do exactly what the Patriots did.
Yeah, you know, there's a tape on the Minnesota Vikings and how to, you know, stop them and beat this team, and it's out there now. So yeah, they're going to have to figure out a way to get those other guys involved, to continue, you know, doing what they do on offense, even if they, you know, take one side away. I thought that they had more options on offense and would be able to figure something out, but right now they don't. You take away both Thielen and Diggs, which not all teams can do. I mean, keep that in mind too. And you force your way to go some different places. And, you know, a part of that, I think, is decision-making on Kirk's part. I think if he would have been patient, if he would have looked, had some opportunities to patiently go through his progressions, there would have been some more options. But he had some pressure on him. He wasn't able to sit back there comfortably and made some bad decisions along the way, and that's what you get.
AJ, I heard Kirk after the game reference maybe that this offense needs to try to go with a little bit more up-tempo, a little hurry-up, just to try to get into a rhythm better. Do you think doing that would help at all with this offense?
You know, the couple times that we've seen them do that, the two-minute drive before the half in this game, we've seen it in a couple other games, they've been very successful. I don't know what it is, and you can't, you can't run your offense in a two-minute offense all the time. So you have to find some happy medium. But there's something about it where if it's just tiring the defense out or catching them off guard, they do it well. And if you can somehow couple that into a normal offensive progression, maybe go every couple drives and hurry up, kind of like the Rams do. We used to see Chip Kelly do it with the Eagles. There has to be some happy medium because they're good in that set and not so good when they take their time.
Obviously, a lot of fans not pleased with the play calling by John DeFilippo. And Zimmer kind of came to bat for him today, it sounds like, just saying that he thought he's been doing a good job this year. He was a little critical of the lack of running game last night, but ultimately, is it more of what John DeFilippo is doing calling the offense, or is it still just coming down to the lack of offensive line for what ails this offense?
Well, I think a little bit of both. You know, I think that DeFilippo would flourish in a system that could get him time back in the pocket, get his quarterback time back in the pocket, I should say. And he doesn't have that right now. You know, if this team doesn't go ahead and draft, you know, three offensive linemen and go out and get one in free agency, we've got a problem, some sort of miscommunication somewhere. They need to address that scenario and address it fast. And right now, I think that his offense, his offensive scheme that he brought to Minnesota from Philadelphia, the things that we saw the Eagles do well against the Vikings last year, they don't have the personnel to do. You know, seemingly you would. You have the big weapons on the outside, a good quarterback, but you don't have time. You don't have time to let things develop, to let things, you know, come underneath. And I think that is a little bit of a detriment to what Flip is trying to do. Now, that being said, I do criticize some of his play calls. I do criticize some of the situations that he's dialing up. I don't think that's the lone problem, but I do think that there, you know, you're seeing some growing pains, let's say, with the inexperienced offensive coordinator who's still trying to figure out how to adjust in game.
On the defensive side of the ball, New England used a lot of misdirection, a lot of motion to gouge this defense throughout the day yesterday. And again, that just shows, as you said, how polished New England is that there's really no one set way to beat them because they can do so many different things so well.
Yeah, they really baited this defense into following the people that they wanted them to follow and leaving the people that they wanted them to leave open. And it came in the form of those dump-off passes, those underneath, the screens, whatever you want to call them. It felt like we were watching that on repeat all day long. And it was just frustrating because it wasn't even close. You know, it wasn't as if there's a coverage guy there and Brady beat you with a good throw. There was just nobody there. I mean, it was a wide-open catch, wide-open run, and they were taking big chunks of yards all up and down the field. And it's tough to win a football game that way when you're giving up those kind of yardages. And again, against a good team that doesn't really make a whole lot of mistakes, you need to be able to cover that. And the Vikings weren't ready for it. The Patriots almost knew, like, hey, this is going to work. We've seen this before. And that was a big-time experience thing that you saw, maybe from experience that the coaches have and the experience that the players have that the Vikings just don't right now.
Defensively as well, the defensive backfield was obviously behind the eight ball with Xavier Rhodes on a pitch count and Trey Waynes getting injured. Just how far did that put the Vikings behind as well in trying to cover all these various receivers?
Yeah, I think it hurt them. Obviously, you know, I don't think I'm, you know, surprising anybody with that opinion. But you have guys that come in, and Holton Hill, who's a rookie and very inexperienced. Mackenzie Alexander didn't even play a whole lot. Then Marcus Sherrills, who, you know, we love Marcus Sherrills, Minnesota guy, great punt returner, but at the same time, he's limited as a cornerback, and we know that. It's not a surprise to us. So you kind of force your hand in that situation. You got to do what you got to do, but at the same time, it does set you back, and you're facing one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, who it doesn't matter who his wide receivers are, he's gonna gouge you, and you don't have your top two, let's call it top three, even if you think back to Mike Hughes not being out there, top three cornerbacks, you're gonna see some detrimental behavior and detrimental success, and it came in the form of you know Gronkowski didn't really beat you, but everyone else kind of did.
AJ, I wanted to ask you, the rest of the division did not have a really good weekend either, and that led to a major shakeup with Mike McCarthy being shown the door. I don't think it was surprising that the move was done, maybe just the timing of it. Were you surprised that they decided to let him go after that game?
You know, I wasn't surprised. You know, the way that it went, you're right. I think everybody knew that this was going to happen, but at the same time, they thought it was going to be a postseason thing after the game the year had wrapped up. But, you know, given the way that they lost to an Arizona Cardinals team that's pretty punchless, and they've been that way all season, you know, the fan base would have been calling for it. So they kind of just went ahead and did it. Got out there early. Maybe you can learn some things about this team with a little bit of a new look, and you run with it and see. So we all knew it was coming. A little surprised that it came when it did, but you can't blame them given what happened on that football field.
Looking ahead to the matchup against the Seattle Seahawks for just a little bit, we'll save most of that for next week since the Vikings don't play till Monday night. Obviously, a must-win for the playoff picture, but this Seahawks team is on a roll at the wrong time in terms of opponents. So obviously, they present a tough matchup. But just how tough of a matchup is this Seahawks team going to be for the Vikings?
Well, it depends what Seahawks team you get. I know the Seahawks team is like the Minnesota Vikings a little bit in the sense that they don't bring it every week. Now, it's not necessarily an experience thing. Like I'm kind of diagnosing it for the Minnesota Vikings. It's just a talent thing. You know, they have one player who has a bad game, and that's enough to impact them because the talent on that team isn't quite as deep. So you know, Russell Wilson has an off game, and what are you going to do? I mean, there's not really much else you can do on that team. So, but for the Minnesota Vikings, though, this is we're to a point where, because of that pesky little tie that went down early on this year, you might have to win every game the rest of the way to make the playoffs. You know, at least three of the last four, potentially all four of them. So it's tough. It's tough sledding the rest of the way. This is the NFL. This is the way it works, and you know, they've kind of made their own bed losing games to Buffalo and you know, just, you know, they played some good teams, the Minnesota Vikings, but then they had that tie. They had that game to Buffalo. If you can have those two games back, we'd be talking a whole lot different right now, feeling a lot better about the playoffs. But unfortunately, we don't have a time machine. We can't go do that.
AJ, thanks for the time again here today, taking a look at what went wrong for the Vikings yesterday. Any content in particular that listeners can check out at KFAN leading up to the game on Monday night? I know you you started a new podcast venture. Tell us a little bit about that.
I did. Yeah, this is a special one to me. It's called Here on Earth. You can get it at KFAN.com, iHeartRadio, or iTunes. It's a faith-based podcast, and I've had the opportunity to talk with C.J. Hamm of the Minnesota Vikings, a friend, evangelizing pastor of mine, Micah McDonald, and then today, Paul Allen, and we discussed their faith journeys and where they've been, where God is leading them, and what opportunities they see coming forward. So kind of a cool little picture behind the veil for some of these guys and what faith means to them. That's a new one. Obviously, there's a lot of other podcasts that we've launched on the KFAN Podcast Network, and always we're covering the Vikings throughout the week, too, to preview next week's game. So I appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that and I said, oh man, I gotta ask about that, because definitely cool, as you said, to get that look behind what we know from some of these guys that we get a chance to hear from throughout the week. So very excited to hear that. And as always, appreciate you joining the show here today. We'll gear up for Vikings Seahawks when we talk to you again next week.
Sounds good, man. Have a good week.